This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes on this Monday, the 21st of October. It is 12:04. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And, of course, our producer, Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine. We are all with you until 1 o'clock this afternoon. We picked up a story from Business Insider, and here's the headline. Colleges and universities are tracking potential applicants when they visit their websites, including how much time they spend on financial aid pages. We took that, we ran with it, and we came up with a question. What makes a good digital first impression? We'll explain why we got to that a little bit later on. So that's our lead story. Story number two is all about the only place where people want advertisements on the internet. It's Pinterest, or so, as some of my friends have called it, Pininterest. Number three, instant film cameras are all cool again, apparently.
Yeah.
Not the Instamatic things.
Yeah, well, like your Polaroid cameras, but you know, it's like a throwback to like the old
80s.
The cameras that you carried around, and then after that had your films developed, right?
Uh-huh.
We're going back to that.
Wasn't he running around with Jeff last week with an old school camera that you sent your film away for?
But isn't that just Jeff Sandu with his fancy stuff?
It is. Right, folks, if you'd like to get in touch, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. I'll quickly run through this story so we can get onto the question. So at least 44 US colleges and unis have hired private consulting firms to help them track applicants who visit their websites. This is according to the Washington Post. They obtain this data by looking at the client list of two education consulting firms, Capture Higher Ed and Ruffalo Noel Levitz. And the paper confirmed the use of capture tracking software on 33 schools' websites. So it allows schools to build profiles of applicants based on information about the web pages they visited and how long they were on each one. That information, combined with test scores and their area code, reportedly gives schools a picture of how likely a particular student is to apply and to attend if accepted. They then reported that many schools use this data to assign a student a score out of 100, rating how likely they are to attend. Seeing how long students spend on pages of the website gives a school information about a student. For example, they can infer that students who spend more time on the financial aid page are more likely to need financial aid. Logically, yes. And so schools can use this information to court students who can pay full price and help them balance their budgets. Most students do not know that their web activity can be tracked when visiting a college's website. And for some schools, there's no way to opt out. So one of the schools from New York's Buffalo State says students who don't wish to be tracked could get information other ways, like by calling the school or using other third-party websites that have information about colleges. Simple thing. You know, if you don't want to be tracked, don't use the internet, which is not as simple as it sounds, of course, right? So with that said, and we now know that there are companies out there, as we've known for a while now, that track everything that we do online, you know. And these things, as these colleges have shown, lead to things like your whether or not you need financial assistance. It's not just that, though, of course, that they're tracking. It's stuff like your social media data that they're tracking. It's stuff like your Facebook, of course, your Instagram posts, your LinkedIn posts, and all of these kind of things. Now, if you are somebody who is ready to apply to college, or you are ready to apply for a new job, for example, and your Instagram posts have been all about partying and partying and partying, and your Facebook page has been about partying and partying and partying, yet your LinkedIn page is quite professional. You know, there's a chance that these two worlds could collide if one of these companies is employed to track your data.
Okay, I'm just looking at that about how tracking. I wonder how much of that is legal, though.
Right.
You know, but okay. But back to your question, right? I really don't think it's an issue. right?
About being tracked like this?
Yeah, I really don't think it's an issue about party, and then there's LinkedIn, right? Because I always talk about this. I'm multifaceted. Yep. I have a life, right? Yep. That doesn't mean that I party that I can't work.
Correct.
You know, so and I understand, like, you know, what it must be like for kids, right? That's all they have. You know, that's how they started their world, you know, with the tablet attached to their hands, right? So I don't think that that's an issue. I'll still be looking at your track record and see what you're like, and see, you know, your work credentials, and of course have that meeting as well. I wouldn't want someone who's, you know, a total square either.
Okay, just to interject, you're an established professional. Mm. You already have a brand around yourself, and so people can see that your LinkedIn profile is strong. Mm. They know who you are, and they are then, I would argue, more willing to accept that you have that other side to you. Whereas if you're
a freshy kind of person.
Right. If you, for example, are an employer and you want to hire somebody for the first time, and the only thing that you see about them is a lack of LinkedIn updates because they are
partying.
And partying, that might skew things a little.
Okay, so if you look at a fresh graduate, how much information can you give?
Precisely.
Right? That's right. How much information you give.
Precisely.
And I would like someone who's got a life, right? I want someone who's human. I think that's, for me, okay, so this is probably like most employers would not look at it that way. To me, it's like, come on, you have a life. You know,
right.
I mean, you know, I don't even hide my profile. What you see me on LinkedIn, when you see me on Instagram, you know, it's, I'm multifaceted, right?
Yeah. Odds?
I don't know so much. I mean, where do I begin? Like, I think that if you're looking at it from a hiring manager's perspective, you've got, I don't know, 20 candidates to evaluate, and then you just, you know, if you go on social media and try and look, I think that as a hiring manager, most of them might just eliminate those who just party all the time or who don't have industry-related posts on their LinkedIn or on their social media, who don't seem to be like really serious about getting a job or, you know, are doing other extracurricular activities that help the society, the community and things like that. If they see things like that on your social media or your LinkedIn, all of a sudden you've become the best, a better candidate than the others who you just see photos of them partying or things like that, you know. So I think looking at it from a hiring manager's point of view, if there's only one candidate for the job, then maybe you can really look through this person's profile and give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, this person has a life. This person is partying, but maybe this person is also,
doing charity work, doing some volunteer work.
Attending conferences, perhaps. I don't know.
But if you've got 100 of them to sift through and you're just going through checking them out on LinkedIn or on Facebook or on Instagram, I think you're just immediately going to write off the guys that don't seem like serious.
I mean, my problem with this thing that the some of the colleges are doing, I briefly mentioned it to Christine early this morning, is how this is already kind of culling the herd before the herd has had the chance to get through the gate, you know, and I feel that's very unfair, you know, because you don't know if there's some poor kid somewhere who can't afford to go to university, but you know he's or she is a genius and they should be afforded, you know, financial help or whatever. Something like this is already stopping them and preventing them from getting into a university, right?
This does sound unfair, just because, you know, they're actually, I mean, what the article just says is they're tracking how much time you spend on the financial aid pages. Yeah. So they're already trying to see whether you can afford this or
not.
And if you don't spend much time on the financial aid pages, most probably you're the best candidate because you don't care about the money.
Yeah.
You just want to get in. So this is unfair, but, you know, it's reality, I guess.
We are going to take a break, folks, but we're asking you about this question. What makes a good digital first impression? Do let us know. We've got some answers already. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to message us. Twitter or Instagram, we're over at BFM Radio. Music coming up from Yazoo with Don't Go. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites, ladies and gents. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
Of course, our producer is with us all the way through until one as well. Christine, say hello.
Yo.
So we are talking to you about digital first impressions and how they matter. And part of this is because of a news piece we found in the Business Insider, courtesy of the Washington Post. Colleges and universities across the U.S. are tracking potential applicants as to when they visit their websites, including how much time they spend on financial aid pages. We thought we'd ask that question, you know, how important is a digital first impression and what can you do to make a good digital first impression? We've had a couple of responses. I've actually got one over on my Facebook that I'm going to refer to right now that Xavier Ma has responded to. I hope you don't mind me reading some of this. Now, the things for him that are important is, one, if there's no profile picture, you need to be proud of yourself, you need to acknowledge yourself a little bit. Stuff like a boring self-introduction, make something nice and craft it so it sounds a little bit more impressive. Your resume is outdated, make sure that's updated. For him, he sees job hopping as a big no-no. That's a debatable issue depending on which kind of age range you fall into. A bad attitude, I don't know how you can judge that from somebody's profile, but hey, there you go. Slow in responding to emails, which I think is a big issue as well. And no interview preparation. So if you've managed to get into the interview so far and you're asked a question, you can't answer it, you know, at least try to Tai Chi your way around it, then, you know, there's some kind of issue there.
You know, we've had people coming on being interviewed here and not knowing what the shows are all about.
Yes.
So that kind of thing.
Yes. I've also got a couple more over on Insta Story. Two over on Insta Story. I've got I Am Kif, who says that user-friendly and as a web designer, I'd say it needs to be fast, secure and simple design. MNI 2016 says a decent-looking avatar. All good stuff.
You know what? I'm just thinking about back when, what, maybe 10 years, 15 years ago when, you know, we were introduced to Facebook. Everybody was getting on to Facebook and on Instagram. And
2007.
The kind of stuff, the kind of stuff that we were posting online. I mean, to think about it, like, you know, fast forward 10, 15 years down, today we're actually being judged by all those posts back then. What if you retweeted something that you just thought it was funny, but then it had some form of political implication.
Yeah.
You know, you could be judged for stuff like that. Something that you thought was important or was funny like 10 years ago, today it's like boom, you know, it could affect your position, affect your opportunities in getting a job.
You could even be the Prime Minister of Canada and think, you know, some things are funny when they're not, when you're at university and you see how that's been dragged up to, you know. Of course, we have more messages coming through, but we did actually manage to speak to somebody from Inti College and they are looking at this kind of thing about how you should be setting up your online profile quite early on in your career. Lin Na, she's the acting CEO of Inti International University and Colleges. We thought we'd ask, what is Inti's approach to preparing its students for job applications?
We're really, really big on employability, right? So we're very structured about it. We have a career preparation workshop, which runs every semester, three times a year. In that workshop, we do resume writing, we do profile building. We also do professional grooming as well as mock interviews so that our students learn interview skills. For our career preparation workshops, for the resume writing and the profile building, we bring in industry partners, right? So that industry partners can tell our students, like, what is it that they are actually looking for, you know, so you actually get a flavor from industry.
So when it comes specifically to the online aspect of job applications, what goes into creating a good digital first impression for you guys?
Well, number one is, what do you have to say about yourself, which is different from other people. We look at everyone as an individual. We don't do cookie cutter approaches, right? So to do a good digital presence, you also need to talk about yourself, about something that you've done, which is authentic. Of course, we go into the basics of resume writing. Of course, we go into the basics of how do you build a LinkedIn profile. But really, what really differentiates you is the things that you've done. And throughout their period with us in Inti, our students will have lots of opportunities to build that profile by actually participating in all the employer projects, in the competitions, in the design thinking, and they should be using all those to populate their digital presence.
And finally, what do you think is the significance of teaching students about their digital presence?
In the world that we live in, a digital presence is very, very important, right? So people look for candidates through LinkedIn. It's no longer a traditional world where you advertise in the papers and then you expect paper copies of resumes to come in.
There you go. Frida. Mm.
No, just listening to what she said and commenting. Eugene Sang had a comment, right? And he says here, profile picture taken well and professionally. Smile too, good introduction, not to be language biased. But if a company mentions that English is vital, English is important, especially in the About Me section. Resume writing, hopefully the resume doesn't look bleak and bland. Most importantly, what are you selling about yourself?
Yeah.
So it comes down to personal branding again. You know, you really have to, from the get-go, you've got to be thinking about your personal branding.
Yeah. Right. I've seen a resume where the person puts their scores, like the MBTI, they kind of, so you sort of know like, oh, okay, that's my, like they've taken the initiative showing this is what I'm like. Mm. And if it's not a right fit, you can almost sort of see then whether the person's the right fit or not. So I think this is sort of things like, how do you, and to me, like even if it's not a right fit, wow, this person took the initiative of adding a little bit extra to the resume.
I tell you what surprised me when I first moved to Asia, like however many years ago it was, seeing people's pictures on resumes and CVs. Mm. Because that's not something I'd seen back home.
Right. Mm.
Has that always been the norm?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's changed, but yes, it's always been the case. I know like when I was studying in Australia and this was a subject that I did and they said, no, you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
I said, oh, it's against the law to actually put your photo there because there'll be a biasness.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And some places have even got to the point where you're not supposed to list what sex you are either. You just submit your, you know, your achievements and your employment history.
That's quite encouraging because I remember earlier this year, I actually interviewed a candidate and she had sent in her resume, but with her profile picture upside down. Oh. And so I just thought it was a mistake. Mm. And then I just, it came up during the interview and it was one of the preliminary interviews. And she was like, no, I did that because, you know, our lecturers said that we needed to do something interesting to get noticed. And so what I took as a mistake, it was actually intentional. She wanted to stand out.
And it did make you do this. You see, it didn't make you spend an extra 5 seconds to turn the resume around to look at a face.
Yeah, because we don't print those resumes out, do we? So I actually had to like turn my head at the laptop. But yeah, so.
I mean, and to kind of flip it around and look at not digital first impressions, like when people pass you their business card as well, as in the old school way
The handshake.
The handshake. Just recently, somebody came into the office and it was the first time I'd met them and they passed me their business card. And it was not your typical business card. Mm. You know, it was much smaller. It was much thicker. It was something completely different. And it's those little things that if you convert it digitally is what makes difference, right? Mm.
Also, I just received a business card with the person's photo on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sadly, it was the passport photo. You know, like
that photo. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So it's all these things, right? So it's all these things where now that first impression, the first impression is the digital first impression before I meet you, right?
Yes.
So maybe I find that when I meet you, I do like you, but if you're looking for work, what can you do to put your best foot forward, right? Mm. And if it means getting professional shots, it means, you know, looking as presentable as possible, what do you do to put the odds in your favor?
There you go, folks. That's the question of the day. What makes a good digital first impression? Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. They're at BFM Radio. These little differences could make the difference between you getting a job or not, or even getting into college or not, it seems, moving forward. Music coming up from Foreigner with Cold as Ice. We'll be right back in just a few minutes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.